Welcome once again to another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner speaking to you on the 29th of, actually it's the 30th, it's Wednesday the 30th of March. Oh boy, sad times, and certainly the Terri Schiavo situation has been chronicled in the Jackie Petrus broadcast, I'm certain, and don't need to deal with that too much. It is a tragedy, and the fact that she's living as long as she has is God's statement, in my opinion. And I could be wrong, certainly, but I feel that's the way it is, and that's the situation that we have. Illegal immigration is pouring into Oklahoma now, and the paper says so. They state that Oklahomans are upset about illegal immigrants in the state and want the federal government to do something about it. They want the federal government to do something about it. I see. And isn't that the way it is? You see how it's all been brought down from the Civil War or the war between the states to bring state sovereignty to its knees? And there we are today with our people wanting the federal government to do something about illegal immigration. State sovereignty is at a loss at this day and time. So according to this article, illegal immigrants, sore subject in state, lawmakers are told. Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Muskogee, and Representative Tom Cole, Republican of Moore, said Tuesday that people who attended their gatherings were vocal about the issue and pressed them for action. Quote, they don't have a lot of sympathy when you tell them it's a tough issue, end quote, Cole said. Well, the point is, as I've said before, Universal Declaration of Human Rights from the UN system mandates it to happen. Anyone can leave their country and go back to their country. And that's just the way it is. That's just the scenario we have today. California is way far more immigrated than this state of Oklahoma. That's for sure. We see here, and I see on the AFP site, dated March 28th, POWs held in USSR, Gulag study forces U.S. to admit unthinkable, MIAs were abandoned by U.S. government. Here I see, dated March 26th, from the AFP, out of Toronto, Canada has denied refugee status to a U.S. paratrooper who deserted from the 82nd Airborne Division to dodge combat in Iraq, in a decision that will dismay scores of other U.S. deserters. Jeremy Heinzman, 26, had filed for refugee protection, arguing he would face prosecution over his political beliefs or cruel or unusual punishment if returned to the U.S. But Canada's Immigration and Refugee Board found that Heinzman, his Laotian-born wife, and young son would benefit from fair and independent justice in the U.S. I see. Heinzman, a veteran of the Afghan War, denied conscientious objector status in the U.S., will now take his battle to stay in Canada to the federal court. Quote, I'm not going to kill people just so the U.S. can build a big gas station in the Middle East, end quote, Heinzman said after the verdict. And I'm sorry, Mr. Heinzman, but you're wrong. It's the International Monetary Fund that is going to build that big gas station in the Middle East. That is the problem with the ignorance of the American people, because they don't do any research to find out the truth. The U.S. is the shock troop for the U.N. system. The coalition is the shock troop for the U.N. system. And the bottom line is, our U.S. Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. governor of the IMF. As I keep saying over and over again, that is documentation that can't be disguised and denied. And that is the situation we live with today. It's the UN system, people. It's very, very frustrating when you see articles like this. It's very, very frustrating to connect dots that nobody else connects because they don't do research. Quote, when you are faced with committing evil acts, you have no other choice but to act, and that is what I did by coming here, end quote. Should Heisman's court appeal founder, his last resort would be to plead to Canada's immigration minister for leave to stay on compassionate grounds. And it's going to be a tough one for him to do that, with the interconnectedness of Canada to the UN system as well, and with NAFTA and the agreements that we have with them under the guise of the UN system. The South Dakota-born soldier argued in a tribunal in December that he was within his rights to leave his unit because he viewed the war in Iraq as illegal and he could be asked to commit atrocities, and certainly there is no denying that. The atrocities are being committed over there, but it's under the guise for the UN system. It's not under the U.S., as we're being told. Heinzman's lawyer, Jeffrey House, said this week the legality of the war would be questioned in the appeal. The case was seen as a barometer for seven other U.S. soldiers who have also applied for refugee status in Canada. Up to 100 other U.S. deserters yet to file refugee claims are believed to be sheltering in Canada, reviving memories of an underground railroad that spirited Vietnam War draft dodgers over the border in the 1960s. Heinzman faces court-martial for desertion and a 5-year prison term if his bid to stay in Canada is unsuccessful and he is returned home. Well, people, we have these undeclared wars going on all the time. Undeclared wars. Well, from the AFP, by Mike Blair, a recently released report by the Pentagon reveals and confirms that American Free Press and populist American First publications have been reporting for nearly 3 decades. American POWs and MIAs from World War II, the Korean War, and the Cold War were sent to the USSR, where they were imprisoned, called, quote, the Gulag study, end quote. It concludes, quote, Americans, including American servicemen, were imprisoned in the former Soviet Union, end quote. According to the study's executive summary, quote, the Soviets and their Warsaw Pact allies even transferred some of these Americans from satellite states such as the German Democratic Republic, more commonly known as East Germany, before the fall of the Berlin Wall, to the Soviet Union, where they were detained, end quote. The summary continues. It isn't just a total sad commentary for where we are today and where we've been in the past, as I've disclosed this before. But this is up-to-date news dated March 28, 2005 from American Free Press. The summary continues, quote, however, despite our extensive efforts, We have not yet acquired definitive verifiable transfers or the ultimate fates of those whose lives were directly affected by them," end quote. In other words, and more bluntly, the Pentagon has been able to determine just how many hundreds of U.S. I'm sorry. In other words, and more bluntly, the Pentagon has not been able to determine just how many hundreds of U.S. servicemen were shipped to Soviet gulags and if they died there. The great tragedy here, felt by this reporter, Mike Blair, who has covered extensively this issue for nearly 30 years, is that, quote, the Gulag study, end quote, really reveals nothing. It just confirms that Americans were held in Soviet concentration camps. For all those years, the U.S. government has had in its possession information that Americans were being held, but did nothing to save them. There's the mess. The National Alliance of Families, which is still fighting to get the U.S. government to determine the fate of these Americans, which might also include American servicemen from the Vietnam War, is furious. Can you understand why people want to desert? Today? People? Upon learning of the, quote, Gulag study, end quote, the Alliance released this comment, quote, volumes of documentation unearthed over the last 50 years by family members and researchers convinced us long ago, end quote, but, quote, official Pentagon policy dismissed not only our conclusions, but the conclusions of their own investigators, end quote. Can you believe it? You regular listeners to this broadcast certainly can believe it. The Alliance points to a 1993 Pentagon report, quote, the transfer of U.S. Korean War POWs to the Soviet Union, end quote, is one example. There are many reports, too numerous to recount here. As an example, the late Air Force Colonel Owitten Delk Simpson, retired, revealed to this reporter in the 1970s that American POWs by the hundreds were transferred from Chinese to Soviet control during the Korean War. While serving as an Air Force attaché at the U.S. Embassy in Hong Kong, Simpson learned from a Russian who had escaped communist enslavement in Manchuria that he had personally witnessed hundreds of American servicemen from the Korean War being transferred by the Chinese, the communist Chinese, to the Soviets at the Chinese-Russian border crossing point at Manchulai. The man, whom Simpson found very credible, said that the Americans were lined up on a platform by the railroad tracks while the undercarriages of the engine and cars were changed for the train to be able to travel on the different gauge tracks of the Soviet rail system. I'm going to repeat that paragraph so you get the picture. The man whom Simpson found very credible said that the Americans were lined up on a platform by the railroad tracks while the undercarriages of the engine and cars were changed for the train to be able to travel on the different gauge tracks of the Soviet rail system. Simpson had filed a high-priority report to his superiors, but that was the last he heard of it, although it later became known that the report reached the hands of then-Secretary of State John Foster Dulles. Simpson's original report was finally retrieved from the dark hole where it had been tossed through the efforts of a member of the National Security Council during the administration of President Ronald Reagan. Just several years ago, Simpson found himself seated across the table at dinner in Florida with a former member of the NSC staff who had been assigned to it during the Eisenhower administration. The man revealed that he had discussed the matter with Eisenhower himself, and it was concluded that nothing short of war could retrieve the men from their captivity. As a result, nothing was ever done. Another credible report surfaced two decades later, when this writer, Mike Blair, learned that in a congressional study of Chinese drug trafficking, a witness revealed that he had witnessed American POWs from Korea working as laborers in a tractor factory in China. The man, who had been a bodyguard for Chinese leader Mao Zedong, was credible, but the Congressional Committee wasn't interested in POWs and MIAs, so the revelation was ignored. It remained ignored until the late 1980s, when it was brought to the attention of Reagan's NSC, National Security Council. A staff member claimed that the man could not be located. With the help of a contact within the office of the President of Taiwan, when the man was reported to have settled, he was eventually located. He confirmed what he had reported to the committee, that he had seen American POWs in the factory. These findings were turned over to Reagan's NSC staff by this writer and ultimately were ignored, just like every other report the government has received from non-governmental researchers. In addition to Korea, there have been numerous reports of American POWs held by the Germans during the Second World War. They had supposedly been liberated by Soviet forces and were set off into the gulags with German POWs, never to be heard from again. This is the same fate of dozens of American servicemen who disappeared behind the Iron Curtain during the Cold War. Over the years, articles about these missing Americans, including reports that they had been seen in captivity, were reported by the now-defunct Spotlight and American Free Press. However, just like the reports of POW sightings, these newspaper accounts were ignored as well. This reporter, being Mike Blair, has even written articles about Americans being held by the Marxists just after World War I. They were captured by Bolsheviks while fighting against them in a secret U.S. military expedition to Archangel in support of efforts to keep the communists from taking power. It is too much, perhaps, to expect that any of these Americans held under severe circumstances could have survived brutal captivity following World War II and probably Korea. But at the very least, they are owed the return of their remains to America, where their own government has written them off. Norman Case, Executive Secretary of the Pentagon's Defense Prisoner of War and Missing Personnel Office's Joint Commission Support Directorate, had this to say about the study's findings, quote, "I am not comfortable with any hard and fast numbers. Our job is to try to find these Americans or their remains and bring them home," end quote. Case continued, quote, "We're here in business for 12 or 13 years. We've kept these reports on the burner of unsolved issues," end quote. However, critics cynically note, obviously, it was the back burner. So when you see people wanting to desert, to get out of the military service of these foreign entanglements, you can't blame them. You can't blame them. The reason people are enticed into the military is for a college education, because there's no way most people can afford a college education today, and that's the bottom line. So a sad commentary to have in this late date. The prisoners of war never returned home. Sad, sad commentary. From the Washington Times, out of Waco, Texas. President Bush yesterday said he opposes a civilian project to monitor illegal aliens crossing the border, characterizing them as vigilantes. He said he would pressure Congress to further loosen immigration law. More than 1,000 people, including 30 pilots and their private planes, have volunteered for the Minuteman Project, beginning next month along the Arizona-Mexico border. Civilians will monitor the movement of illegal aliens for the month of April and report them to the Border Patrol. Mr. Bush said after yesterday's Continental Summit with Mexican President Vicente Fox and Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin at Baylor University that he finds such actions unacceptable. Quote, I'm against vigilantes in the United States of America, end quote, Mr. Bush said at a joint press conference. Quote, I'm for enforcing the law in a rational way, end quote. The Minuteman Project was born out of a long-held perception among many residents that more Border Patrol agents are needed to handle the flow of illegal immigrants. Mr. Bush was criticized by both Republicans and Democrats earlier this month for failing to add 2,000 agents to the Border Patrol, as set out in the intelligence overhaul legislation he signed in December. The president's 2006 budget allows enough money to add only 210 agents for the U.S. borders with Canada and Mexico. Mr. Bush said he will, quote, continue to push for reasonable, common-sense immigration policy, end quote. He has proposed legislation to grant guest worker status to millions of illegal aliens already in the United States. The legislation has attracted scant support in Congress, where it is widely regarded as another amnesty that will encourage even more illegal immigration. And how can you disagree with that thought, listeners? Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada says Democrats have been willing to work with Mr. Bush, but that first the president must persuade congressmen of his own party to embrace his plan. Quote, unfortunately, the right wing of the president's party continues to put forward proposals that neither help make progress towards comprehensive immigration reform nor help truly protect our borders, end quote, Mr. Reid said. These people really don't have a clue, do they? Mr. Fox, who has said he seeks an open border, has applied constant pressure on Mr. Bush to get the guest worker program through Congress. Mr. Bush has pledged that he will do all he can. Mr. Fox said yesterday that his country is dedicated to making sure border crossings are legal and orderly. Quote, we discussed the issue of border crossings and how we can protect our borders and be efficient along the border, end quote. The official agenda of the day, or the one-day summit, was centered on economic matters, and the three leaders reached agreement on what they called the establishment of the, quote, Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, end quote, designed to build upon the North American Free Trade Agreement. Mr. Martin said he pressed Mr. Bush to get the United States to drop its ban on importation of Canadian beef, imposed because of fears of spreading mad cow disease, and to reduce tariffs on softwood lumber, but no comments or commitments were made. Canada earlier this year said it would not participate in the U.S. missile defense program, and Mr. Martin said there is little chance he would change his mind. On missile defense, the file is closed, end quote, Mr. Martin said. Quote, but our cooperation in terms of defense, in terms of our borders, in terms of defense of our common, our frontier is very, is not only very clear, but is being accentuated, end quote. Mr. Bush said he had not imposed a June deadline on North Korea to rejoin talks with the United States, Russia, South Korea, Japan, and China, with the intention of North Korea giving up its nuclear weapons program. That's just ludicrous, listeners. Quote, I'm a patient person, Mr. Bush said, but the leader of North Korea must understand that when we five nations speak, we mean what we say, end quote. And that is ridiculous. See, Communist China and Russia, they've got their game in place. The tax-free foundations have their game in place. The non-governmental organizations have their game plan in place. What is North and South Korea going to ultimately do? What is Taiwan going to ultimately do with Communist China, making sure that Communist China says that Taiwan is a breakaway province of Communist China? How can this be, listeners? How can this be going on the way it is? How can we get to the bottom of anything called the truth when you have such deception going on? Well, you deal with the documentation. You deal with the documentation. There's no other way to do it. If you don't work with documentation, you can't increase your numbers of concerned people. That's my feeling. That's my concern. And that's my creed. Without documentation, we really don't have anything to stand on to wake up our fellow countrymen. And so you have people going off to the Middle East, another Vietnam, another Korea, for all intents and purposes, another World War II almost. Here we see Indonesian islanders mourn dead from quake out of the Oklahoman on page 9, dated today, March 30th, 2005. The death toll from a powerful earthquake that devastated a remote Indonesian island rose to an estimated 1,000 Wednesday, according to Sumatra's governor, as rescuers searched frantically through collapsed buildings for survivors. Was this set off? Was this allowed to happen? I'm sorry, but I'm very suspicious about any weather anomaly anymore, whether it was created or natural. How can I help but feel that way when I've done so much research? And you are the same way that have done the research. You feel the same way. You don't know when earthquakes happen, whether they were natural or caused. How many nuclear devices are down at the bottom of the ocean in strategic places all over this globe to be set off at certain times when necessary to make a point and to bring more poverty? Because when you're devastated, you have poverty and you don't know what else you're going to be able to do. I'll continue on the other side. If you want to call in, 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should give extra to help us spread the message of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us. First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you.
Imagine that this is your daughter.
What do you want?
Now you get to decide how this scene ends. Or...
Stop, Earl!
Some misinformed people want to take away your daughter's choice between rape and self-defense. We're pro-choice on self-defense. Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. JPFO.org.
Be sure to listen to The Church at Cahuilla every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. Pacific Time. The Church at Cahuilla is a Lordship Church under the sole authority of Jesus Christ. You may contact The Church at Cahuilla by calling 559-561-4860. That's 559-561-4860. And let them know how much you're being blessed. Thank you.
And welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner, and certainly I'm glad that we have Darren and Dennis now doing the work on the website. Darren certainly concentrating on Jackie Petrou's website and then a Terry Schiavo tragedy. I encourage you to look at Darren and Jackie's website regarding Terry Schiavo. Once again, 12 days, 13 days, minutes away from dying, God has made a statement. I can't imagine living 13 days without food and water, can you? Tragedy. From Fort Francis Times Online, listeners, Canada and the world. Ottawa's newly launched smart regulation initiative will lead to a loss of sovereignty and widespread adoption of U.S. standards for food, drug, and environmental safety, critics say. Isn't that amazing? Smart regulation. What do you think that is? Agenda 21, smart growth. Way to go, Dennis. The smart regulation program revealed by Treasury Board President Reg Alcock last week has received relatively little debate, perhaps because it is so technical, but critics say it is far-reaching implications. Quote, the belief by Canadians that government should protect their health, safety, and environment against the drive to accumulate wealth is under siege. End quote, charged David Kuhn, policy director of the Conservation Council of New Brunswick, in a recent letter to his members. Quote, this assault on the public good is described as a smart regulation, end quote. In the next 3 to 5 years, Alcock's office plans a sweeping review of the rules governing new crops are grown, or governing how crops are grown, how foods are labeled, how drugs are approved, and how industrial projects are assessed for environmental impact. The review is largely based on recommendations by an advisory committee established in 2003. Its report, given to Prime Minister Paul Martin last September, called for a reduction in the number of Made in Canada regulations. Quote, the emergence of global markets and the need to cooperate in managing international problems means that country-specific solutions are increasingly less effective, in quote, says the report. Quote, Canada should develop its own regulatory requirements only when they are necessary in order to meet national goals and values, end quote. The report did not try to define these goals and values, however. It also says that, quote, if the approach of key trading partners meets Canadian standards for protection, their approach should be adopted, end quote. In practice, that will mean the widespread adoption of U.S. standards, critics say. Nah, it's not U.S. standards, it's U.N. standards. The U.S. is the implementer of U.N. standards. You know, the thing that's so amazing here, listeners, is that we're making less and less food in our own country. In America, less and less food is being made here. More and more food is being imported into this country from all over the globe. Now, what is this all about? Ultimately, this is going to be generated into a rationing of food in America in order to disarm the population. I know that's a hard thing for some people to swallow. But as we become more and more dependent on foreign food, if we don't cooperate with UN directives and mandates to disarm, well, the food won't come to our country. And then what's going to happen? Am I far off when I say this? I don't think so. I really don't think so. We're becoming more and more dependent on foreign food for a purpose and a reason. And that's to be intertwined into the UN system. You know, I covered last night all the reforms that the UN wants to make. All they want to do is make it stronger and take away any ability to say no to the UN system. What happens? The State Department implements the U.S. mission to the United Nations. How many people spend time on the State Department websites to see what's going on? Once again, this article says in practice that will mean the widespread adoption of U.S. standards, critics say. And that could have a major impact on such questions as the commercial sale of genetically engineered fish or the future shape of agriculture. Quote, adopting of the American regulatory system would favor the industrial livestock production over the family farm, end quote, said Kathy Hallslander of the Saskatchewan-based Beyond Factory Farming Coalition. Quote, a regulatory system skewed towards high-speed processing, centralization, high technology, expensive input fees, and capital requirements will have negative impact on the rural economy by concentrating meat and livestock production around a few large packing plants, end quote. Well, the mom-and-pop farmer in America is just about totally eliminated, isn't it? She noted that in the past, Canada has chosen a different regulatory approach from that of the United States. For example, in refusing to permit the use of bovine growth hormone to enhance milk production in dairy cows. Such differences in approach will become difficult with smart regulation, she and others suggest. Quote, Canadian regulations will increasingly be aligned with American ones to facilitate the so-called deep integration of Canada's economy with America's, end quote, Kuhn argued. Alcock has said Canada's regulatory system has, quote, served us well, end quote, but needs to be updated. Well, ultimately, what are we under here? We're under a North American Free Trade Agreement, a victim of GATT, or a part of GATT, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade. And the bottom line is, it's the UN system. Most people realize this. D. dated March 24th, from Beyond Factory Farming. Out of Ottawa, Bill C-27. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency, the CFIA, Enforcement Act, would mean the end of independent policy on food production, inspection, and enforcement in Canada, according to the Beyond Factory Farming Coalition. Kathy Hall-Slander of the BFF Coalition will appear before the House Standing Committee on Agriculture and Agri-Food today, March 24th, 2005. Quote, Canadians want made-in-Canada food and agriculture regulations that ensure quality, health, and safety, end quote, says Hall-Slander. Quote, Bill C-27 would empower the CFIA to restructure the regulations governing Canada's food and agriculture to put trade ahead of public safety and integration with the United States ahead of democratic Canadian control of what we eat, end quote. Hear, hear, for them to be so concerned. Keep in mind, the UN flag flies freely at the Toronto City Hall in Canada. Bill C-27 would empower the CFIA to make bilateral agreements that force Canada to adopt the regulatory practices of their of other countries, primarily the United States, authorize the privatization of Canadian food inspection services, share any information about Canadians with foreign governments and private companies for the investigation, enforcement, or administration of any law. Shift regulation from the precautionary principle to risk management in the enforcement of all Food and Agriculture Acts. Recently, the federal government endorsed recommendations for sweeping changes to Canada's regulatory system, which it calls smart regulation. Smart regulation aims to integrate Canada's regulatory practices with those of the United States in everything from border control to pharmaceuticals and food in order to promote trade. Quote, quite simply, Bill C-27, combined with the federal government's commitment to so-called smart regulation, would turn over Canada's food and agriculture regulatory system to the USDA, the FDA, and private corporations, says Hall-Slander. We would completely abandon our power to set and enforce independent rules, end quote. What is she talking about here? The UN system is what she's talking about here. Quote, the BSE border closing shows how dangerous it is to put all your eggs in one basket. Canada's over-reliance on the U.S. market for cattle also provided the rationale for the CFIA to mirror American livestock production rules. This locked us out of other markets such as Japan and Europe that have stronger rules based on consumer and environmental health and safety protection, end quote. With Bill C-27, the federal government is continuing to create a policy environment where rewriting regulations reduces rather than enhances the health and safety of Canadians and the integrity of Canadian agriculture. This system favors market expansion by large agribusiness corporations at the expense of independent family farmers and smaller food processing businesses. And evidently, Hall-Slander was urging the MPs to defeat the bill. Canadians opposed to Bill C-27 can fax a letter of concern to their MP from the Beyond the Factory Farming Coalition website. That website, once again, is on our website, AmericanExpose.com, BeyondFactoryFarming.org. And evidently the BFF Coalition is a network of local, provincial, and national groups, including the Council of Canadians. It promotes livestock production that supports food sovereignty, ecological, human, and animal health, as well as sustainability and community viability. And and informed citizen consumer choice. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Here I see in the paper, little evidence found to connect UN chief to the scandal, but oil for food inquiry faults Annan. This is in the paper, and it's also on the website. Investigators probing the UN Oil for Food program said Tuesday that Secretary General Kofi Annan didn't interfere in the awarding of a contract to a company that employed his son, but criticized the UN chief for not properly investigating possible conflicts of interest. A defiant Annan said, hell no, when asked at a news conference if he would resign, noting the report's findings that he committed no wrongdoing. Although the report did not completely vindicate the Secretary General, the investigation led by former U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker said there was insufficient evidence to show that he was aware of the bid. And certainly, what's Paul Volcker going to do? The ultimate end goal here is to give credibility to the United Nations all the time. The whole point of the Middle East mess, with the IMF in control, is to bring the UN system to the Middle East, to destroy the last bastion of sovereignty in the Middle East. That's what this is all about. Most people don't do any research, so they don't know. They think the U.S. is the bad guy. The U.S. is the bad guy, but the U.S. has been taken over long ago with the creation of the Federal Reserve System, listeners, in 1913. That's where it all started. Since then, there's been more wars, more deaths, more brutality than any time in history. Certainly since 1945. And the POW thing? You've got to be joking. That is sick. In your face. So, according to the AP on the website, questions raised by a probe of the UN Oil for Food program for Iraq may have given critics more ammunition against the world body, even though Secretary General Kofi Annan was cleared of corrupt practices. A report Tuesday from an inquiry conducted by Paul Volcker, a former U.S. Federal Reserve chairman, found no evidence that Annan had influenced bidding for a lucrative contract under the $67 billion program to a Swiss firm that employed Annan's son, Kojo. And there's many more articles linking to this. News stories. Here, expert says Annan has no reason to resign. Oh, man, I'm just so impressed with my website. I just can't believe it. Finally, after all these years. Here we see from AFP. Congressional champions of fair trade as opposed to free trade say they expect to defeat the Central American Free Trade Agreement, the CAFTA. They disagree on how. Some want to prevent a vote on CAFTA, and others want to vote to put Congress officially on record as opposed. But they spoke with one voice on March 15th while greeting numerous members of the National Farmers Union, who had come to Washington to lobby Congress against CAFTA. Trade deals have, quote, taken the soul out of the United States, end quote, said Representative Paul Ryan, Republican of Wisconsin. It's time to get the big money out of trade deals, end quote. Quote, wouldn't it be great if we had a president and a Congress that put the American people first, end quote, asked Representative Ted Strickland, Democrat of Ohio. Quote, we import beef from Canada, but not medicine, end quote, he said. CAFTA would so damage the sugar industry that 25% of businesses quote, up and down Main Street, end quote, would be lost in his state, said Representative Cullen Peterson, Democrat of Minnesota. The industry is already damaged, Peterson said, because Europe subsidizes farmers who dump sugar on the United States. CAFTA would damage the sugar industry so badly in the Red River Valley, said Representative Errol Pomeroy, Democrat of North Dakota, that 3,000 jobs would be directly lost and 3,000 more would be indirectly killed. Behind CAFTA are trade deals with other countries, Pomeroy said, referring to the pending Free Trade Area of the Americas, which would put the entire Western Hemisphere, except Cuba, until Fidel Castro is gone, into a single economic entity. Quote, is CAFTA a fatal wound or the first of 1,000 cuts, end quote, he asked. International corporations and banks and the super-rich secret society Bilderberg all favor CAFTA and, ultimately, the Free Trade Area of the Americas, which is to evolve into an American Union similar to the European Union. Their grand vision is a world government. And what did Mikhail Gorbachev call the European Union? The new Soviet. And that's what this is turning into in America today, under the guise of the UN system. Set up scenarios that we deal with on a constant basis. We are in deep trouble. We are spending billions of dollars in the Middle East, killing civilians who you don't know who your enemy is. I can't blame anyone for not joining the military today. I recommend no one join the military today. I recommend that if ever there is a war, that nobody should attend, so the war isn't going to be had or done or played out. I think whenever there's going to be a war, the leaders of all the countries should get in the boxing ring and fight it out themselves. That's what needs to be done. I'm so fed up. Such regurgitatory information that I constantly have to give. Here we see from the AP, former U.S. Senator James Sasser and two other retired American diplomats have joined a drive urging the Senate to reject John R. Bolton's nomination to the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Sasser, a Democrat, who was former President Bill Clinton's ambassador to China, added his name to a letter distributed Tuesday to senators on the Foreign Relations Committee. Oh, my God. The UN, what a joke. The two other former diplomats who signed the letter raised the total to 62, where Patricia M. Barn, Deputy U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations under former President Ronald Reagan, and John L. Hirsch, Ambassador to Sierra Leone in the Clinton administration. The letter was drafted by Jonathan Dean, a senior U.S. arms control negotiator in the Carter administration, who also held diplomatic posts in Germany and Czechoslovakia. Who would make a good ambassador to the U.N.? How about Charles Schumer? How about Ted Kennedy? How about Barbara Boxer? How about Dianne Feinstein? How about eliminating the UN system? How's that could ever be done when the IMF is well under control of our monetary system? Secretary of Treasury is the U.S. governor of the IMF. Every country has a governor in the IMF. And that is a sad commentary to have, listeners. A sad, sad commentary to have. We are embroiled in a global system. The most important things for you to document on your own behalf is Agenda 21, the Hegelian dialectic from the Anti-Communitarian League, weather modification, needs to be researched. You have to learn about the Global Fire Monitoring System from the United Nations. The Global Fire Monitoring System from the UN system needs your attention. Why are they monitoring every fire in the world, if not to move populations to sustainable communities, like what is happening in Asia right now as a result of devastating earthquakes and tsunamis? The Biometric Consortium serves as a focal point for research, development, testing, evaluation, and application of biometric-based personal identification and verification technology. Comes from the U.S. government. You need to research the Biometric Consortium, and then you need to research Codex Alimentarius. You need to know what the NAFTA corridors are all about, and the globalists, and how they operate. Sam and Trish, their information about the protests of the metering of the water wells in Missouri. They've had another water meeting. You need to go to their website, the Information Corner, and research what's going on there. You see, they do more than most sighted people, and that should make you feel like you better do something, because they make most of us look pretty silly. And that's the bottom line, listeners. Our population is being moved to sustainable communities through weather modification. In the meantime, there's wars going on. Read the World Heritage Treaty from December 17, 1975, Article 11, Section 4, where they can declare anything a World Heritage in danger as a result of tidal waves, floods, changes in the water level, volcanic eruptions, landslides, earthquakes, serious fires, cataclysms, calamities, wars, outbreak or the threat of an armed conflict, and then look at the biodiversity map on the website. Learn about the Convention on Biodiversity. And then Rewilding America, the Rewilding Project. It's all put together for you on the website. You need to spread the information about StopAgenda21.com or AmericanExpose.com. That is the bottom line, listeners. That is your responsibility. It's your country. It's going apart. It's falling apart. It's under UN totalitarian control. And it's your job to change it. Until tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. Central on the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour. God bless all of you listeners.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers.